I don't know if you've ever been rescued by Jesus before, but what I'm going to share today is like a rescue. Maybe I should call this the rescue. So, boy, what to talk about. So many things that I could talk about. I probably could talk for hours to you, good and bad. And maybe I need to split this into two parts. I don't know, but two things I'd like to accomplish today. One, if you know anybody that's experienced deep loss and pain, then maybe you'll grab something to help them through their loss. Number two, I want to glorify the Lord Jesus, who's walked us through this valley. Suicide is a horrible decision. It's sinful and it's destructive. Jeremy left a wake of pain. Suicide takes one person's pain and it casts it on many people. For those of you that don't know my story, my 15-year-old son took his life. July 26, 2015, I'm sorry. Tremendous young man with some hidden pain. I lost one of my good friends a month before that to suicide too. It was a very rough summer. As we look back, there were some slight irritations with Jeremy, but maybe nothing that was really uncommon for teenagers. But there were a few things that were glaring that I missed. Our family has gone through a valley that we would not wish on our worst enemies. But here we are, a young man who seemed to have a lot of things going his way. So how are we doing? How is Dave doing? It's been almost 11 years. Hard to believe. But God has slowly provided healing through that process, piece by piece, moment by moment, day by day, on some even very dark days. I call those dark, tough days the rabbit hole of darkness. It's a place where your mind takes you that is lonely, full of confusion, hurt, jealousy, anger, and regret. For me, I felt like I was stuck in an undertow. Somebody jammed a railroad spike in my heart and ripped it out. Yet despite even those days after Jeremy left us, God began to speak healing into our family's lives. God used people. God used His Word very powerfully. He used music and prayer, and that's why I wanted to share that song with you today, one of many songs that the Lord uses to minister to those that are hurting and needs to hear those things. And the Lord certainly has rescued us through some pain. I want to start by talking about prayer first. There's people who pray for us every day. My sister and my brother-in-law, I know they pray every night for us. Jim's here this morning. If you know Jim Kane, I know Jim prays for our family every day. Those are powerful things that I know, and I can tell that people are praying for us because we wouldn't make it without prayer. I've shared with you before that I have a text thread with a bunch of other men, about 10 other guys, and we share prayer requests, and we ask each other to pray for one another when things pop up. It's awesome. And I want to share with you several times that I was struggling in mornings. I would go to school and I'd make coffee and I was sitting in the lounge and praying and just distraught. Didn't know how I was going to make it through the day, and I would send text message to these men and they would pray for me, and every single time I was flooded with peace. Every time. Over and over again. I know there's others that are praying, and many of you have probably prayed, and I appreciate that. We need those prayers. God has spoken powerfully through His Word to me over and over again. God has given us His written Word. He's given it to us to study so we can know Him. We can know His plan for us. We can know His purpose for us. It's there that we find those answers. We need God's Word. When our mind's running to places, and you can imagine the places that I've been in my mind, especially through those 3 years, lots of questions and where I would run to. But it was always the Lord's word that would help direct my thinking and get me thinking the way I need to be thinking. When I'm struggling with those why questions, God provided some answers, not all. Some I don't need to know, but He did provide some. When I'm overcome by emotion, God provides the comfort. In your bulletin, you'll see there's a list of verses there. I'm going to use these verses. I usually like to speak through a passage of Scripture, but today I'm going to go through some verses. And the first one we're going to look at is 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm choosing that because when I was studying God's Word around the time that Jeremy passed, there were some verses that really stuck out to me and spoke to me powerfully. But I need to start with this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." All Scripture. So as I rattled through some of these verses, the Lord was just speaking truth to my mind and helping me through all this and this battle. Right after Jeremy died, I was actually reading in the book of Isaiah. Not something you would typically do when you're mourning. And I thought maybe I should switch to Psalms and read through the Psalms. But I decided to stay in Isaiah. I was reading before he passed. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay here. And I'm so glad that I did. The Lord kept me there for a reason. Isaiah was a prophet that was used by God to challenge Israel to return to them. They were falling away. God was speaking and having Isaiah speak to them and saying, come back to me, follow me, repent and follow me. Tucked in that awesome book are words about Jesus' birth and his crucifixion. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus came. What a powerful explanation that Jesus, we get to see about Jesus before he came that far away. But in those verses of Isaiah, God was using to speak some specific truth to me. The next one is Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It says this, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God has a purpose. And I know that even Jeremy making that horrible decision, God still is using that. And he has a purpose for it. His word goes out and he speaks his word. And it is not going to return to him void. In our own lives, the same thing is true. If we're holding on to Jesus and he's our Lord and Savior, he's going to work his word through our lives the same way. I cannot understand why all this happened. I really don't. I'll never fully understand it, no matter how hard I try. But what I learned from Scripture is that God has a purpose in everything, even when men and women make evil decisions like Jeremy has done. God's going to work. We think about the sin that we commit every day. Many, many sins, right? We think about the sin of the world, how many each individual commits every day, and yet God works amongst every sinful decision that man makes. He has to. God is in control. In my desperation, I was seeking answers to which no human could fully understand. Like many people who's lost loved ones to friends to suicide, I was trying to play God to know all these things, to solve myself and have answers. But God kept speaking these truths to my mind and teaching me how to think through all this. Romans 8:28 says, "In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." It says all things. Lord, what are you doing here? And he was speaking truth to me. Yes, Dave, it says all things. I'm going to work all things, not just some things. But that promise is for believers. you look at that carefully, it says, for those who have been called according to His purpose. For those of us that have faith in Christ and are following Christ, that promise is for us. He's going to work all things for our good and His glory. So I knew the Lord was going to do something. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. I know some of these verses are out of order, but that's just how I chose to share these this morning. Read along with me. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I was so thankful to read those verses because I was tired of my own thoughts. A rabbit hole of darkness I didn't like, and I was tired of being there. And God's saying, Dave, you don't have to worry about it. They're my thoughts. Let me handle it. It's my plan. Let me handle it. You don't have to. I needed to hear that. God does not intend us to handle things that only He can handle. We have to trust Him even when we don't fully understand. We're not all-knowing like He is. We don't know all who God is going to affect through our circumstances. And I'm never going to know that. He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future. Another one of those verses was Isaiah 43, verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah was challenging, and God was challenging Israel that the way is coming. Jesus is coming. He was going to make a new way for them, the new covenant. But you know what? When I read that verse that morning, that was soon after Jeremy passed, I knew that the Lord was going to do something in my life and also in other people's lives. Yes, Lord, I'm in a desert. I am in a wasteland. Just like Israel was in a wasteland. That's what I felt like. But I knew He was going to use this. Isaiah also offered some more great comfort and strengthening that I needed to hear. In Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Lord, you're telling me that you thought it best to bring Jeremy home. Yes, I think that was true. Maybe things were going to get worse for him, maybe things for us, maybe things for his friend. But God says He brings the righteous home to spare them from evil. Again, you can imagine what's rattling through my mind. These verses offering great comfort and truth. Piece by piece, God's slowly providing healing and truth through this whole process. God also has used people powerfully through all this. My friend Joe Hess, who just passed away recently, Joe knew that I wanted to do our side porch at our house. And I was tired of painting it all the time and staining it. I'm like, all right, so I want to do something different with this. It's not a big porch. But Joe knew that. And when Jeremy passed, he knew I still wanted to do that. And he just said, Dave, I'm going to come over. I'm not going to come over as a contractor. I'm coming over as your friend. And he just worked with me that day, and we took care of that porch on the side. We had some good conversation through that. He asked me some questions that I needed to hear, and it was good. I had some school counselor friends, Christian ladies, who would stop in periodically at school to ask me how I was doing. Pastor Matt wasn't here yet. A pastor friend, Pastor Matt Mitchell at E-Free Church out in Lance, took me to breakfast, and he talked to me about forgiveness. That I needed to hear about forgiving myself. A special man that God put in my way. One of my college friends, Mike Daniels, his brother took his life when we were at college at Geneva. I certainly had no understanding about suicide. I really wasn't around it a lot. Didn't know how to comfort him. But I know his mom and dad still struggle today, as he shares with me periodically. But Mike said, "Dave, I want to come down and I want to spend a weekend with you just to hang out, whatever you need." And his dad was an electrician. He helped me do some things at camp that weekend, and we cut a tree down. And I was just very appreciative of his willing to take time out. I was in the middle of painting a house when Jeremy took his life. I was 3/4 of the way painting that. And my friend Kristen and Greg Ryan said, "Dave, we'll finish painting that house." It was right next to their house, and they finished painting because they knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that. Just didn't have it in me. Jeremy's friends have been amazing throughout this process, and a few of them are here today, but they've desired to get together and say, "Hey, Dave, let's get together and let's go out and eat and just share." And it's been good. There's been many, many good things that have come from that. Jeremy's friend, Zach Tahansky, reaches out to us on Mother's Day and Father's Day because we know those are hard days. He sent a note at Jeremy's birthday last month. I'm going to share this amazing story. This was 3 years after Jeremy passed, and I was at that same house doing some work where I was doing the painting, and I was doing some landscaping there, starting to get hard on my body, as you can imagine, getting older. But one of Jeremy's friends, Matt, I invited him to help me with that project because I knew he was youthful and could handle that. And, of course, I paid him. But I was sharing with Matt my desire to pedal to the top of Rockton Mountain. So I was on my bike trying to get in shape and do some exercise. I knew it was good for me physically and mentally. But my goal was to pedal up that mountain going out of Clearfield. And I told Matt that. And to that point, I think I made it halfway, maybe 3/4. And I had not made it the whole way. But I was sharing with Matt, and he was saying, "Oh, that's awesome. That's an awesome goal." And I don't remember the exact timeline, but a couple weeks later, it was a Saturday morning, and I was up and I was going for my bike ride, and I made it halfway. Nice, cool, sunny morning. I made it 3/4 of the way, and I'm like, "I'm going for it. Today's the day. I'm going to start pedaling." So I went past that Jaeger's Lane, and that's always, I call that the 3/4 go around, and you can see that long stretch at the end. So as you guys ride up Rockton, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm pedaling. I'm like, "I know I can do this. I know I can do this. I'm going to get there." And this is God. As I was cresting that hill, I heard somebody yelling out the car window, and it was Matt. And it was another one of his friends, and they were cheering for me as I was cresting that hill. So I share these things because God cares about every little detail of our lives. And he put that together. Many, many stories. Like I said, I could talk to you hours about the things that the Lord has done to help us through these things. To help me to keep from dwelling on Jeremy's death too much, I tried to keep myself busy. And I'm always busy. My wife will tell you, I'd never stop. My mom says, "The grass never grows underneath my feet." Is that a saying you guys grew up hearing? Well, that's me. But after Jeremy died, I knew I needed to keep myself extra busy, and I asked the AD at school if I could work on the girls' softball field because it was not draining well. And I knew I could do that. I've worked on many baseball fields. I was not coaching at the time. And he said, "Sure, Dave, you can do that." So I went down, got some equipment, was working on it. And this beautiful fall day, and got done for the day. I had to get ready to get home for supper. So I put the equipment away. The football team practices on our outfield of the baseball team, and they were wrapping things up, walking off the field. So I went out and I sat down on the baseball field by myself on the pitcher's mound and just started to ball. And this was, you know, October after Jeremy passed. And I just said, "Lord, I can't do this. Please come and get me. I just want to be done." And I didn't hear audible voice, but I know the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, Dave, I'm not done with you yet. I said, what, Lord? If that's you, please help me. I can't do this. I need your help. There's nothing more. I went home and I had supper with Laurel, and I don't even remember if I told her at that point, but may not have. After supper, I went out, and the neighbors needed some help cleaning up leaves, so I went out and I was helping them with leaves, and I was cleaning up the leaves. Just about done, and I was getting ready to turn to put my rake in my truck, and there was a neighbor across the street. His name was Denny. Denny and I struck up a conversation and a friendship over the years, and a lot of that was because of my kids. They kind of set the groundwork, and as they got off the bus, they would say hi to Denny. And Jeremy especially would have a conversation and talk with Denny. And Denny was impressed with that, because many teenagers don't do that today. But they set the stage for all this. But Denny's wife had cancer, and she passed away. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to give him a Bible and talk with him and share with him. And then Jeremy passed, so we had a deeper connection. So this particular day, Denny came out, and I was done cleaning up, and I heard him call my name, and he said, hey, Dave. And I turned around, and I don't know if he ever got the crooked finger before, but he was giving me the crooked finger, and I thought I was in trouble. I'm like, uh-oh, what did I do? So I turned around, and I said, what's up, Denny? And I walked over, and he said, I want you to tell me again about the love of Jesus. So as concise as I could in that moment, I shared with him how much Jesus loved him and what Jesus did by dying on the cross for him. And then he looked at me after that conversation. He said, Dave, I believe. After we were done, I turned around to get in the truck. As I was crawling in the truck, the Lord brought to my mind again, see, Dave, I'm not done with you yet. Okay, Lord. I went up, dumped those leaves. I came back down. I went to a lady's house that I was working for years, mowing grass, and picked up her leaves. And a guy came by, and he stopped, turned around, and came back. And it was my friend Mike. And he got out of the car, and he said, Dave, I want to show something to you that Jeremy made for us. And I want to just talk to you about how he impacted our family, especially my son Michael and their friendship and playing ball together and riding to school together and playing video games. And Jeremy invited him to youth group and things like that and his birthdays. But Mike got out and he showed me this thing. He said, we're never going to forget him, and I want to show you what he made me. And I think it was a bookmarker, but I can't remember the exact thing. But he left. And as I was crawling back into the truck again, the Lord said, see, Dave, I'm not done with you yet. Wow. I went to the dump, got rid of those leaves, and I had to go pick up a motorcycle at the Lawrence Township Police Department. My friends, the Freelands, had a motorcycle that was stolen at their house. One of the boys had one, and they asked me if I would go with the truck to pick that motorcycle up, so I did. While I was there, I was talking with Officer Glass, and Jimmy's son and my son are actually cousins, and they play ball together and hung out together. I've never had a conversation like this with Jim before, but we talked about life and baseball and our kids. It was just a good conversation. Loaded the motorcycle up. I was driving away from the Lawrence Township Police Department. Again, the Lord brought to my mind, see, Dave, I'm not done with you yet. A few months later, I was driving home on Interstate 80, and the road was wet. I didn't check my blind spot like I should. The driver ed teacher, you think he would know better, and I didn't. Car honked at me. Fortunately, I corrected. I was going like this in the right lane, side to side, and the car straightened up. And again, the first thing that I heard in my mind was, see, Dave, I'm not done with you yet. Over and over again, the Lord has done amazing things these past 10 plus years and continued to show us that he's using us and using this situation. My daughter met an amazing man at college because of Jeremy's decision. He had a lot to do with it, and hopefully she can share that with you someday. After Jeremy died, I spent many mornings praying and reading my Bible. You know, it was August, right after all this happened. And I knew the Lord wanted me to do some speaking through this. I just felt like He was nudging me. And I said, Lord, if You want me to speak for You on suicide or whatever, I will. I will do this. That very morning, I went to school. I was getting my classroom ready, and I opened up my email at school, and there was an email there from a pastor at the Forest Gate Baptist Church asking me if I would speak at their suicide prevention Sunday. How could I say no? I just prayed that morning, Lord. 1 year later, something very similar, just praying and being distraught. You can imagine all the emotions and things that were involved with all of this. Saying, Lord, I'll keep speaking if You want to. And I had opportunities to speak at other places, but Laurel said, Dave, you need to read this email. It was a couple days later, and it was Mr. Struble from the Clearfield School District, the superintendent, asking if I would come share at their in-service about suicide. How could I refuse? So over and over again, these things have happened. 3 years later, I got a message from the chaplain at Geneva College asking if I would come speak at chapel service. That was a tough one. There was quite a few people there. But the Lord used that. And if I have the story correct, I know the Lord used it because Austin had an opportunity to share Christ with one of his friends. So God has put things together, and things that we don't understand and we don't see. And in your life, if you have heartache and struggle, if you're willing to lean into Jesus, He'll use you. You have to be willing. Things have slowed in the speaking department, as I figured they would. That's all right. But you know what? I still ask God periodically. It's not all the time. Sometimes I'm just needing that encouragement. And this fall, I needed that. It was an evening, and I said, Lord, just show us You're still working. The next day, I was cleaning up the garden, and I heard somebody pull into the driveway. And I turned around, and there was a young man getting out of his car. And he walked over and said, Mr. Larish, I need to talk to somebody, and I knew that it would be You. That's God. That's the Lord. He puts those things together, one step at a time. If you've experienced deep loss, don't give up. There's true hope. The true hope is in Jesus. I think I could have called this the rescue. Jesus rescues us all the time. Even if we're believers and followers of Christ, we need rescued many, many times. And that's okay, because we're not perfect. When tragedy strikes in somebody else's life, take these examples that I share. Show up in their life. You don't have to have something magical to say. Don't say this. Don't say, if you need something, call me. I've made that mistake of saying that. Don't say that. Just show up. Go to their house. Call them. Say, hey, can I take you to breakfast? Can I come over and just help you with something? Be a friend and show up. Maybe a hug will be appropriate. You know them. If you write a note or a card, we've had some beautiful cards, and you know, we got hundreds and hundreds through that process. But the ones that we've hung on to, I went through and I filtered them out, and we probably have 50 or so still at the house that I need to read through again. Just sharing what Jeremy, some things that he had done or said, or just made an impact on people's lives, and they put extra things in there. So I would encourage you, if you know that person really well, write something special about the person that they lost. Maybe something that they meant to you. And if you don't know them, that's okay. We had cards from people we didn't even know that they lost loved ones and kids to suicide, and they were writing us notes and things, but you'll know. Spend that extra time. Those are meaningful. We love to hear stories about Jeremy. We don't hear as many anymore, but we love to hear them. They really encourage us and uplift us. You know, I think of it this way. It's like you're sitting on a bench, and if you're needing encouragement, you're here. Jesus is here. And sometimes we get so engrossed in our own self and our own pain and our own hurt. And Jesus is sitting there and he's staring at us and he's waving to us and he's calling to us and he's saying, slide over. I'm right here. I just want to put my arm around you and love you and I want to rescue you. Will you let me do that? It takes some work. It takes some work to allow Jesus to work through our pain and our hurt. It's not easy. That's why we need other people. We need other believers to help us with that. We need God's Word. We need prayer. We need all these things. And I want to end with this. One more awesome story, how the Lord is just working. It was a parent-teacher night at West Branch a few years ago. And a mom showed up at my room. She walked in and said, Mr. Larish, I'm not here to talk about, you know, your class is coming up this fall, but we had a suicide in my family, and my son is greatly hurt by this. It was his uncle. They were really close. And he said, I'm here just to ask you if you'd be an extra set of eyes to look out for him and ask him how he was doing. So, you know, the Lord is willing if we're willing, and it isn't easy, and everybody grieves differently. I know people that have gone through deep loss, and they just cannot go and help people, but some can. So if you're one of those people that are willing to help, be available. God is willing. He's there, and he's waiting, and he's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to the Father. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to provide the healing for our sins and our sin problem and that eternal death that we all face without Jesus. Jesus died on that cross for us to give us that hope of the future and to deal with our sins. He's the one we need to turn to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you very much for the chance today to share how you have ministered to our family and to me. And God, that you love each and every one of us. We are important to you, and the things that we're involved in are important to you. Lord, you've made us. You've put us around the people that we are with. You've given us the families. You've given us the friends, the churches. God, those are the people that you ask us to minister to and them to minister to us. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in serving you in this community and with those that we know outside this community. I pray that we would be a church that loves people the way they need loved. Lord, as Christians, that we would love our neighbors the way they need loved and encourage and uplift. And Lord, this is a difficult job to be a pastor of a church, and I pray for Matt as he is being refreshed that you would help him, and I pray that he would come back and speaking your word boldly and with courage and power. Lord, I just pray for your people around the world that they would minister, that they would just share in love, and that we would see revival. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.